This is a summary of Accelerate by bestbookbriefings.com. Accelerate. Building Strategic Agility for a Faster Moving World. Author, John P. Cotter. The Need to Accelerate. Accelerate is about how to handle strategic challenges fast enough, with agility and creativity, to take advantage of windows of opportunity which open and shut more quickly today. You need something very new to stay ahead in an age of tumultuous change and growing uncertainties. The solution is not to trash what we know and start over, but instead to reintroduce, in an organic way, a second system, one which would be familiar to most successful entrepreneurs. The new system adds needed agility and speed, while the old one, which keeps running, provides reliability and efficiency. The two together, a dual system, are actually very similar to what all mature organizations had at one point in their life cycles, yet did not sustain, and have long since forgotten. There is a practical way to create this dual operating system, and it can be done very inexpensively. The life cycle of organizations. Virtually all successful organizations on Earth go through a very similar life cycle. They begin with a network-like structure, sort of like a solar system with a sun, planets, moons, and even satellites. Founders are at the center. Others are at various nodes working on different initiatives. Action is opportunity-seeking and risk-taking, all guided by a vision that people buy into. Energized individuals move quickly and with agility. Over time, a successful organization evolves through a series of stages into an enterprise that is structured as a hierarchy and is driven by well-known managerial processes: planning, budgeting, job defining, staffing, measuring, problem solving. With a well-structured hierarchy and with managerial processes that are driven with skill, this more mature organization can produce incredibly reliable and efficient results on a weekly, quarterly, and annual basis. But in successful organizations, even as the managerial structure and processes begin to grow, the original entrepreneurial system does not go away. The energy around initiatives, the leadership from empowered people, and the flexibility of working across groups all remain intact. The two systems coexist in a dual operating arrangement that is totally organic. Often what holds the two parts together and minimizes any conflict is the entrepreneur, who becomes a CEO and remains as the center of the startup network. As a matter of natural evolution, and also out of economic necessity, people are not allowed to dedicate themselves full-time to their original network activities and to have no place in the hierarchy. Thus, strong human connections between the hierarchy and the network tie the two systems together. If a firm continues to prosper, its operational needs correspondingly increase and the management-driven hierarchy grows and grows. More processes are added. For a while, the network itself might also grow, as more and more hires play a role in the various initiatives that are seeking opportunities and helping the organization remain agile. But at some point in the company's continuing success, the hierarchy grows so large that it begins to dwarf the network. Since the hierarchy side of the organization tends to control resources, and because at a certain point it becomes much larger than the network side, it begins to quietly yet systematically kill off the network side of an organization. At the end of this journey, a successful organization may have established a strong market position, powerful economies of scale, a robust brand presence, and good relations with customers. But in the drive for growth and success, something important was lost. While the firm is surviving well and making good money, it does not have the innovative edge, or speed, or agility it once had. Its growth slows, and then slows further. A dual system structure. The basic structure is self-explanatory: hierarchy on one side and network on the other. The network side mimics successful enterprises in their entrepreneurial phase, before there were organization charts showing reporting relationships, before there were formal job descriptions and status levels. That structure looks roughly like a constantly evolving solar system, with a guiding mechanism as the sun, strategic initiatives as planets, and sub-initiatives as moons or satellites. This structure is dynamic; initiatives and sub-initiatives coalesce and disband as needed. Although a typical hierarchy tends not to change much from year to year, this type of network typically morphs all the time and with ease. Since it contains no bureaucratic layers, command and control prohibitions, and Six Sigma processes, the network permits a level of individualism, creativity, and innovation that even the least bureaucratic hierarchy, run by the most talented executives, simply cannot provide. Populated with a diagonal slice of employees from all across the organization and up and down its ranks, the network liberates information from silos and hierarchical layers and enables it to flow with far greater freedom and at accelerated speed. The hierarchy part of the dual operating system differs from almost every other hierarchy today in one very important way. Much of the work ordinarily assigned to it that demands innovation, agility, difficult change, and big strategic initiatives executed quickly, challenges dumped on work streams, tiger teams, or strategy departments has been shifted over to the network part. That leaves the hierarchy less encumbered and better able to perform what it is designed for, doing today's job well, making incremental changes to further improve efficiency, and handling those strategic initiatives that help a company deal with predictable adjustments, such as routine IT upgrades. In a truly reliable, efficient, agile, and fast enterprise, the network meshes with the more traditional structure. It is not some sort of super task force that reports to some level in the hierarchy. It is seamlessly connected to and coordinated with the hierarchy in a number of ways, chiefly through the people who populate both systems. Still, the organization's top management plays a crucial role in starting and maintaining the network. The C-suite or executive committee must launch it, explicitly bless it, support it, and ensure that it and the hierarchy stay aligned. The hierarchy's leadership team must serve as role models for their subordinates in interacting with the network. Charge the old with the new. We already know how to execute new strategies and have done so many times. Why would we want to move away from methods that have worked in the past and that people are comfortable with? It is quite possible you don't have to move away from what you can do well. The issue is that what you have been doing probably needs some turbochargers, and for at least four big reasons. First, consider how the world is changing, and therefore how we need to adjust to continue to win. The data are clear that events are accelerating, due mostly to technological breakthroughs and global integration. We are passing the point at which the old methods can continue to do the job effectively. Second, consider the stakes. Handling strategic challenges poorly has always had serious consequences. For a large firm, the difference between success and failure has for decades potentially been billions in market capitalization. But today the difference is increasingly success versus total collapse. Third, consider the risks. We normally shy away from anything that appears dramatically new because of the unknowns. Yet enterprises are being forced into critical reorganizations, major IT overhauls, or investments in emerging markets which have significantly greater risks than launching a dual system. The latter is an organic process and rarely requires any significant upfront investment. Fourth, consider the comparison between your most recent successes and some of the early data we have on the results of dual systems: a doubling of revenue in just 2 years, a near doubling of market cap within 30 months, moving from a facility that was to be closed down to a model organization within its sector, transforming from a facility that was totally stuck in the past to one that is creating the future, and doing so in less than 3 years. A dual operating system's principles. A well-functioning dual operating system is guided by a few basic principles. Many people driving important change, and from everywhere, not just the usual few appointees, you need additional people, with their own particular windows on the world and with their additional good working relationships with others, in order to truly innovate. More people need to be able to have the latitude to initiate, not just carry out someone else's directives. A get-to mindset, not a have-to-one. Every great leader throughout history has demonstrated that it is possible to find many change agents, and from every corner of society, but only if people are given a choice and feel they truly have permission to step forward and act. Action that is head and heart driven, not just head driven. Most people won't want to help if you appeal only to logic, with numbers, and business cases. You must also appeal to how people feel. Much more leadership, not just more management. The game is about vision, opportunity, agility, inspired action, passion, innovation, and celebration, not just project management, budget reviews, reporting relationships, compensation, and accountability to a plan. An inseparable partnership between the hierarchy and the network, not just an enhanced hierarchy. The two systems, network and hierarchy, work as one, with a constant flow of information and activity between them, an approach that succeeds in part because the people essentially volunteering to work in the network already have jobs within the hierarchy. The eight accelerators. Because action within networks accelerates activity, especially strategically relevant activity, we call its basic processes the accelerators. The network's processes resemble activity you usually find in successful, entrepreneurial contexts, this time with top management launching a dynamic that creates many more active change drivers, a network structure integrated with the hierarchy, and processes that, once started, never stop. These are the eight accelerators. 1. Create a sense of urgency around a big opportunity. Building a dual system starts here. This is, in many ways, the secret sauce which allows behavior to happen that many who have grown up in mature organizations would think impossible. Urgency, in the sense used here, is not just about this week's problems but about the strategic threats and possibilities flying at you faster and faster. With Accelerator 1 working well, large groups of people, not just a few executives, rise each day thinking about how they might be able to help you pursue a big opportunity. 2. Build and evolve a guiding coalition. Accelerator 2 leverages off a greatly heightened and aligned sense of urgency to build the core of the network structure, then later to help it evolve into a stronger and more sophisticated form. This guiding coalition of people from across the organization deeply feels the urgency. These are individuals from all silos and levels who want to help you take on strategic challenges, deal with hyper-competitiveness, and win the big opportunity. They are people who want to lead, to be change agents, and to help others do the same. This core group has the drive, the intellectual and emotional commitment, the connections, the skills, and the information to be an effective sun in your dynamic new solar system. These are people who can, and do, learn how to work together effectively as a large team. 3. Form a change vision and strategic initiatives. Accelerator 3 has the guiding coalition clarify a vision that fits a big strategic opportunity and select strategic initiatives that can move you with speed and agility toward the vision. 4. Enlist a volunteer army. In Accelerator 4, the guiding coalition and others who wish to help communicate information about the change vision and the strategic initiatives to the organization in ways that lead large numbers of people to buy into the whole flow of action. Done well, this process results in many individuals wanting to help, either with some specific initiative or just in general. This accelerator starts to pull, as if by gravity, the planets and moons into the new network system. 5. Enable action by removing barriers. In Accelerator 5, everyone helping on the network side works swiftly to achieve initiatives and find new ones that are strategically relevant. People talk, think, invent, and test, all in the spirit of an agile and swift entrepreneurial startup. Much of the action here has to do with identifying and removing barriers which slow or stop strategically important activity. Within a dual system, and unlike in a startup, this process guides people to pay close attention to their hierarchy, to what is being done there, to avoid overlap of effort, to what has been done there, to avoid plowing old ground, and to the hierarchy's operational goals and incremental strategic initiatives, to maintain alignment. Smart actions, based on good information from all silos and levels, are taken with heightened speed. 6. Generate and celebrate short-term wins. Accelerator 6 is about everyone on the network side helping to create an ongoing flow of strategically relevant wins, both big and very small. Action here also ensures that the wins are as visible as possible to the entire organization and that they are celebrated, even if only in small ways. These wins, and their celebration, can carry great psychological power and play a crucial role in building and sustaining a dual system. They give credibility to the new structure. This credibility in turn promotes more and more cooperation within the overall organization. These wins draw out respect, understanding, and eventually complete cooperation from the most control-oriented managers, who themselves have no desire to be network-side volunteers. 7. Sustain acceleration. Accelerator 7 keeps the entire system moving despite a general human tendency to let up after a win or two. It is built on the recognition that so many wins come from sub-initiatives which, by themselves, may be neither substantial nor particularly useful in a strategic sense. Larger initiatives will lose steam and support unless related sub-initiatives are also completed successfully. Here, with relentless energy focused forward on new opportunities and challenges, we find a motor which helps all the other accelerators keep going, as needed, like spark plugs and cylinders in a car's engine. It is the opposite of a one-and-done approach in mindset. 8. Institute change. Accelerator 8 helps institutionalize wins, integrating them into the hierarchy's processes, systems, procedures, and behavior, in effect, helping to infuse the changes into the culture of the organization. When this happens with more and more changes, there is a cumulative effect. After a few years, such action drives the whole dual operating system approach into an organization's very DNA. Urgency, complacency, and false urgency. When people have a true sense of urgency around a big strategic opportunity, they instinctively look for something they can do each day to push the enterprise toward exploiting that opportunity. Their intellectual and emotional commitment to dealing with turbulence and fierce competition shows in their behavior all the time. Complacency is the opposite orientation. Complacent people see no reason why they should do anything much different. They don't think in terms of looking for ways to develop competitive advantage. Mostly, they want to keep doing what they are doing. They may jump on a problem occasionally to keep the firm producing reliable results and may even appear to have a sense of urgency in doing so. But the problems they tackle tend to be small and not strategic. They tend to be solved in short periods of time, by small groups of people, and with the goal of bringing the system back into an efficient equilibrium. Sometimes people may be running around to meetings and more meetings, or generating reports and more reports, and from a distance this can look like a sense of urgency around important issues. But these actions really represent a kind of anxiety-driven false urgency, which usually produces only self-protective activity rather than productively pushing the organization into a prosperous future. Developing and modeling urgency. A management-driven hierarchy, built for reliability and efficiency now, leans against significant change and leans hugely against a change as significant as the implementation of a dual operating system. It does so, most fundamentally, because its silos, levels, rules, short-term plans, and narrow jobs systematically create complacency. And group complacency is an almost unbelievably powerful force. The only solution to this problem is to create a force powerful enough to reduce and counteract this formidable systemic inclination to stall large-scale change. Traditional task forces, bonuses, strategic plans, program management groups, or strategy consultants don't come close to creating that force. Only the first accelerator does by developing and maintaining a strong sense of urgency among large groups of people focused on a big opportunity. Looking outward, open-minded. Developing the megaforce of strategic urgency requires, first of all, that people be aware of what's going on around them, think seriously about what it means, and be open to and excited about new possibilities. Inwardly focused organizations, or inwardly focused silos built within the hierarchies, can be filled with good people who don't see the obvious, that more big changes are happening more quickly outside their enterprises, which require them to make big changes inside those enterprises. Bringing the outside in means using every possible communication mechanism to import the reality of the situation. An outside-in approach might mean, for example, arranging for external speakers at meetings, sending groups to visit organizations that are facing similar threats or opportunities, selectively hiring people who see and appreciate the true turbulence you face, or highlighting the field intelligence of employees who are in a strong position to see outside, e.g., salespeople who must travel to client sites. There are dozens of ways to bring relevant external realities to the attention of employees and managers. Creating strategic urgency can mean pointing out external hazards or potential crises. It must mean dialogue about new possibilities and opportunities, which sometimes come about because of a crisis. Effectively instilling a sense of strategic urgency can mean broadcasting information about what some managers or staff have already done to move toward new opportunities, actions which have achieved some clear and impressive results. The best communication here will not look routine. It will capture people's attention in a way that almost compels them to be open-minded. It does so by stating the case in a way that pulls on the emotional strings common to us all. The power of role modeling urgency. Nothing is as powerful in opening masses of minds, supplying relevant information, drawing out passion, and then creating a great sense of urgency around a big competitive opportunity than role modeling. When a person role models urgency, he or she starts quite naturally to talk about strategic challenges or possibilities or initiatives in hallway conversations, to bring them up in meetings, to slide them into emails, or to insert mentions of them whenever some issue or problem that relates to a big opportunity comes up. With regularity and confidence, but not boasting, these individuals tell others what they are actually doing and why it is important. They do not just tell others what the others should do. Creating positive energy, celebrating seized opportunities. A large part of the effective and relentless role modeling of urgency is to make visible and celebrate any seized opportunities, even if they are small wins that demonstrate movement in a strategically sensible and exciting direction. Wins give credibility to the whole idea of pursuing a new strategic advantage. Celebrations give a needed pat on the back to people who are trying to help. The emotional reward of these pats is positive energy, which not only makes an individual feel good but also has a cumulative effect within the organization. The place to start, possibilities and opportunity. Almost all highly performing organizations have in their futures the possibility of continuing to prosper greatly despite moving into a world where the rules have changed. There are very few solid enterprises that do not have the potential to go from good to great, and very few struggling organizations that cannot stop struggling and start winning. Of course, when it comes to big change, threats are usually more visible. But change always brings with it new possibilities and opportunities. A big opportunity is usually the product of changes in an organization's environment, such as new markets, new advances in technology, or new demands being placed on an enterprise by competition or turmoil, changes inside the organization, such as new products or new people, or both. A big opportunity is something that can potentially lead to significant outcomes if the possibility is exploited well enough and fast enough. These outcomes might include much accelerated profitable growth, the power to innovate much faster in a world that demands more innovation, a much better, and well-deserved, reputation that draws talent and financial resources your way as never before, or the accomplishment of an ambitious mission to serve people, communities, and country. A big opportunity is both rational in light of available data and emotionally compelling to people inside an organization. It draws on both the heart and the mind. A well-articulated statement of a big opportunity compellingly describes a window to the future that is open or is about to open. With the right framing and application, the statement makes the people involved excited about jumping through that window. Increasingly, such windows are appearing, opening, and closing much more quickly than ever before. A big opportunity is not a vision, although the two may seem similar. A big opportunity could be, in part, because of contextual factor X and our special capability Y, we have a very real and exciting opportunity to offer service Z and substantially grow our revenues and profits starting in this year and continuing on for at least 5 years, with unprecedented benefits flowing from the top of the firm to the bottom. If decision-making speed, customer service, and talent are three of the key issues that will need to be changed for a firm to capture this opportunity, a one-year change vision could be, in part, we will be making decisions faster, serving our customers' needs better, and be a place where people want to work, feeling great pride in what they do. Creating the big opportunity statement. The most effective big opportunity statement seems to have these characteristics. It is short, it can be written on less than a page, often just a quarter of a page. Its length makes it easier to share with others and thus easier to create a sense of urgency around it among large groups of people. Rational, it makes sense in light of real happenings inside and outside an organization. A reasonable person will not reject the big opportunity statement, let's now call it TBO for shorthand, because it sounds like a fantasy based on an inaccurate assessment of reality. A good TBO often addresses issues of what, why, why us, why now, and why bother, all in a short statement. Compelling, it also is somehow emotionally compelling. It is not all head. There is heart in it. And it speaks to the hearts of all relevant audiences, not just to people at the bottom of the hierarchy or the top, to some silos and not others. Positive, because it is about an opportunity, it has a positive tone. It is less like a statement about a burning platform, which seeks to scare us out of our complacency, and more like a statement of a burning desire. Authentic, it is not just good messaging that might motivate the troops. The senior leadership team that puts it together, or at least signs off on it, genuinely believes it and feels excited about it. Clear, you can create a statement that is short, rational, emotionally compelling, etc., but still unclear. A lack of clarity will always, at some point, undermine the development of a dual system, as people rush off in non-aligned directions. Aligned and effective TBO is aligned with any existing similar statements, and thus dual systems, at higher levels in an organization. Any lack of alignment with existing documents, e.g., strategic plans, will eventually create stresses and strains. What does the guiding coalition do? In successful dual systems, the GC has many functions, including, 1. Making sure the network has a change vision that is totally aligned with the big opportunity. 2. Agreeing on what the primary strategic initiatives are at any one point in time and making sure they are aligned with the change vision as well as any left-side strategic plans and strategic initiatives. 3. Keeping in tight communication with the executive committee, but not as in a left-side, hierarchical, reporting relationship. 4. Monitoring, but not controlling, what is happening in the strategy accelerator network, looking out for unnoticed overlap between initiatives on the right, network, and left, hierarchy, and facilitating communication and problem-solving among initiatives. 5. Looking for and celebrating wins, and 6. In general keeping the accelerator processes working well. Revisiting strategy. Today strategy is thought of as having two basic components, creation and implementation. The first is implicitly treated as by far the most important. The process is linear: create strategy, then implement strategy. Typically, enterprises do strategic planning once a year as a part of their operational planning exercise. The best practice methods used to do that planning and the implementation of the plans work hand in glove with a management-driven hierarchy. The key players in making strategic decisions and directing the implementation always sit at the top of the hierarchy. As the world moves faster and faster and more firms create dual operating systems, it is hard to believe that this pattern won't be forced to change significantly. Strategy won't operate only on a yearly cycle because opportunities and hazards don't operate on a yearly cycle. Creation and implementation will start to blur as new data are discovered during implementation, which immediately need to inform new creation. This is already happening. Today, strategy is being viewed in some organizations more as a dynamic force, not one directed by a strategic planning department and put into a yearly planning cycle. It is a force that constantly seeks opportunities, identifies initiatives to capitalize on them, and completes those initiatives swiftly and efficiently. We think of that force as an ongoing process of searching, doing, learning, and modifying. Among mature organizations, you find this most often in the dual system we described. The accelerator process is driving the network serve as a continuous, holistic, and innovative strategic change function, one that quickens momentum and agility because it never stops. This imparts a kind of strategic fitness to the organization. The more it exercises its strategy skills, the more adept it becomes at dealing with a hyper-competitive environment, and the more those skills become a part of its culture. Fourth generation leadership. Leadership is about setting a direction. It's about creating a vision, empowering and inspiring people to want to achieve the vision, and enabling them to do so with energy and speed through an effective strategy. In its most basic sense, leadership is about mobilizing a group of people to jump into a better future. Whether you prefer to read or listen, we have something for you. Visit bestbookbriefings.com now for more summaries.